Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of Leviticus, Pastor Dave will be taking us through chapter 10, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 20, where Pastor Dave brings up the point that there is comfort in talking to someone who can relate to you in a time of trial. In today's text, we'll see that Jesus is acquainted with every sorrow that we have, and he relates to every pain that we have experienced. He truly is a God who cares. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Leviticus chapter 10.
Is your relationship, more specifically with the Lord, a holy relationship that's being represented to that world? Do you just proclaim Christ and his holiness with your mouth, or do you show them his holiness, how different he is altogether from anything that the world has ever seen or known, by your actions and your deeds? God had serious issue here with his priests, his representatives to his people, for not reverencing his holiness. Remember what I told you in the beginning of the book of Leviticus, it is a book of holiness. It is a book where the Lord will say, and we'll see in a few weeks here, be holy, for I am holy. Not optional, not an elective, a mandatory course that God says every Christian needs to have. Take, follow. The holiness of God was at stake, being misrepresented by his people. Their relationship with him was not being treated as something that was set apart and altogether different than any other relationship that they ever had before. I think we lose that so many times. Because we have this invitation from the Lord, in Hebrews we read of it, that we can come boldly before his throne and of grace in time of need. And so I think sometimes we take boldly out of context and we treat God like he's a peer. We treat God like he's a genie in a bottle. We treat God like he's just somebody that we can talk to as if he's just a friend or if he's just a dad. And we lose respect so many times. We lose that healthy reverence that we ought to have for his name. I don't think that so many times that we approach him very carefully and deliberately and recognizing that I'm in the presence of Almighty, of all holy God. He's so holy that he poured out all of his judgment and wrath on his son so that I can have eternal life. That's how holy he is. That's how much he hates, detests sin. That he emptied the cup of his wrath upon his son in totality. Number one, Moses said to Aaron, the boys, your sons, they did not sanctify the Lord in their hearts. And number two, the Lord alone, Moses said, ought to be glorified. The Lord alone will be glorified. Billy Graham once said that we're never more like Satan than when we touch the glory of God. We're never more like Satan than when we touch the glory of God. And for some of you here tonight, you're not really serving the Lord. You're not really doing anything extracurricular besides just attending church. There's no condemnation for that, but maybe that doesn't really hit you. So I'm going to speak to the servants in the church directly real quick. Those of you who are actively serving Jesus in any role, in any visible role where there's a potential, a possibility for the praise of man to be received. If you touch the glory of God, God has major issue with you. He's not interested, as the prophet said, of sharing his glory with another. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Everything that you have, every talent, every ability comes from Jesus. We, you, I, none of us have any right to touch his glory. Amen? It's his. It's what got Satan in trouble in Isaiah 14. The five I wills, I will, I will, I will, I will ascend above his throne. I will be exalted. I will receive praise. It was all about him. It was pride, pride, pride. The root of all sin, the handle of all sin is pride. It's when it's about you. It's when it's about me. It's when it's about us, anything other than Jesus. I will be glorified. They're my priests. They're my servants. They're my representatives. If they're going to serve me, they're going to glorify me, not themselves. So important that you and I have that mindset, especially those of us who are in the limelight, especially those of us who are in a visible place of ministry where man can see us, and they only see us at our very best, don't they? They only see us with our church smile on, with, oh, hey, brother, praise the Lord, when we're yelling at our wives or our husbands and our kids, and our true colors come out in the comfort of our own homes. But the church and the saints, they only see us in our best state. And so many times people are drawn to the person, the limelight, the position of recognition, and they want to give glory that is unjust, glory that is not due to anybody else but the King. Dangerous. But even more dangerous is receiving that glory. Charles Spurgeon once said this. It stuck with me, being that I'm a preacher. He said that if I walk down from the stage and somebody comes to me and says what a great sermon it was, and I receive the praise of man and I eat that praise up, then that is pride and that is touching the glory of God, because I am recognizing, or at least in my mind I am, that I had something to do with this. And he said, but if I also walk down from the stage after I preach and I thought that stunk, that was the worst sermon that I've ever preached, I'm quitting. And you only understand that if you're a Bible teacher. That also is pride, because you're stuck on yourself and thinking about yourself. The only right attitude after serving the Lord is, Lord, I did what you asked, blessed be your name, and wipe your hands clean of it. For your glory, Lord. And that's not what these men did. They didn't sanctify the Lord in their hearts, and they didn't glorify the Lord, at least completely. And Aaron held his peace, we're told, at the end of verse 3. There was really nothing he could say. So Moses called, verse 4, Mishael and Elzaphan and the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and he said unto them, come near and carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near, verse 5, and they carried them in their coats out of the camp. What did they take, church, out of the camp? The sin offering. Remember, they would always take the sin offering outside the camp. Remember, Jesus Christ, who is our sin offering, who all these offerings here in Leviticus speak of, he was crucified outside of the city gates. Remember on Golgotha, outside of the temple precincts, he was crucified towards the peak of the Mount of Moriah. That's where he was crucified, outside of the gates. These are types, these are shadows. They take the sin offering outside of where the people are dwelling, where the sacrifices are existing. And it says here, take these people out. Take the sin offering out. We don't want this influence of sin over the people among us. A very drastic measure here. I think of what Paul said to the Corinthian church. You shouldn't even eat with somebody. You shouldn't even sup with somebody who's living in sin deliberately. That's a challenge for a lot of us, because people we love, brothers and sisters in the Lord, brothers and sister by blood, parents sometimes, God will challenge us. If that person isn't walking with Jesus and they know the Lord, not an unbeliever, that's two different things. Please understand me. But somebody who has professed Christ, who has borne fruit for Christ, who has had a relationship with Christ, and they're in a backslidden state, and they're not receiving correction, and they're deliberately living in sin, Paul said, you should not even eat with them. You shouldn't even dip pita in the hummus with them. Nachos in the salsa with them. Bread in the sauce with them. You're following me, right? You're not to have fellowship with them. In fact, if it gets to the point, they're to be turned over to Satan, it says, so that they come back to their senses. That's very difficult, isn't it? But that goes along with what Jesus said, lest you love me more than your dad, more than your mom, more than your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter. You are not worthy to be my disciple. No wonder why he said in another place in the Gospels, count the cost before you put your hand to the plow. Because no workman is worthy of following Jesus who puts his hand to the plow and looks back. Have you counted the cost? You see, these were the loved ones of Aaron's boys that had to carry them outside the camp, and in other words, anathema, be done with them, remove them so that their influence would no longer be over the people. Man, God will challenge us so many times. Maybe that's you here tonight. God has been knocking on the door of your heart, saying, I've been telling you those friendships got to end. knocking on the door of your heart. I've been telling you that relationship with that boy or girl has to end. It's ungodly. It's unholy. It's a sinful influence over you. You need to cut the cord. You need to snip the line. It's not good for you. Drastic measures, man. Our God is a God of drastic measures. Again, so much so that he gave his son so that we could have life. One of the things that I'm working on with the Lord right now, or I should say that he's working on me with right now, is obedience. He's been working on that one with me for a long, long time. I think I overcome an area in my life of obedience, and he highlights something else, and I can't believe how unsurrendered I really am. Does anybody ever feel that way, man? You think, all right, I'm getting there. And then all of a sudden, the Lord's like, hang on a minute. Look in the spiritual mirror, his word, and you see your heart again. You're like, oh, my goodness. Oh, wretched man that I am. How undone I am. Do you ever feel that way? Maybe I'm alone here, but that's okay. I know someday you'll feel what I feel. And the Lord will show me something, and I can't believe how unsurrendered I am. My thought life, the way that I joke around, the way that I can so quickly turn carnal. I don't know why it stumps me, but it does sometimes. I can't believe how quickly I can turn carnal. I can't believe jokes that come into my mind that are dirty and sick and twisted and perverted, how quickly, and I can have such a good joke that I want to say, and it's on the tip of my tongue, and all I'm doing is reading my Bible, praying, seeking the Lord that day, and it will still happen. Anybody ever experience that? You're having a day. I mean, there's days where you yield to the flesh where no one's perfect, but days even that you yield to the Spirit all day long. It's one of those days, mountaintop experience with Jesus. You're worshiping, only Christian music in the car. You've been with brothers and sisters, no one save friends. You haven't even watched TV. You've just been doing all the right things. And then all of a sudden, you're put in a situation where it gives opportunity for your heart to be manifested, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? It's there. The heart will always make a convert of the mind. It's there. It's the seedbed for every thought, every word that comes out of our mouth. All of a sudden, you're put in opportunity. You can't believe what you just swallowed, what you were about to say. At least that happens to me so many times. The Lord says, I can't have this. I'm creating a holy people. I'm creating a separate, peculiar people. I can't have this sinful influence over them. God would say the same of you tonight. As his bride, he's very protective. I can't have this sinful television series that you are watching over your life anymore. I can't have you on the computer when there's no one else around you anymore. It's affecting you. It's hurting you. You got to take your computer and you got to put it outside the camp. You got to make it impossible so that you can even reach it. Because if you can reach it, if you can access it, you're going to fall every time. You got to get rid of the phone numbers. Are you serious about me or aren't you? If you're serious about me, you got to do these things. You're weak, you're feeble, and I pity you, says the Lord, that I know you're just dust, but at the same time, I'm going to give you wisdom here. If you don't yield to my wisdom and what you need to do so that you can have victory, don't come crying back to me, because eventually your heart's going to get so hard from disobedience that I'm not going to be found. This had to have been difficult for the cousins, the relatives of Aaron's boys. They put these dead bodies in their coats and they dumped them outside of the camp. Let's honestly go through that in your mind here. That had to have been pretty drastic, don't you think? Just because I love the Lord. And one of the difficult things about loving the Lord and doing what the Lord requires of thee, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? What the Lord requires of thee. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, Micah said in chapter 6. One of the difficult things about being surrendered to the Lord is that he'll call you to do things so many times that the world might say, that's harsh. That's extreme. That's ridiculous. Everybody lets their kids do that. Why wouldn't you? Everybody watches that show. Why wouldn't you? I know Christians that drink. We're going to get there in a minute. Why don't you? Everybody sleeps with their girlfriend or the boyfriend or lives with them first. Why don't you? You're getting a little overboard. You see, your Jesus, is what they're saying, is starting to make me or us or whoever feel a little bit uncomfortable. What they're really saying is what Jesus said in John chapter 3, that man loves darkness rather than light, and you are taking the searchlight and exposing darkness in their lives, and it's cramping their style. The Lord will challenge you sometimes to do things that the world looks at you and says, you're nuts. You're going to homeschool your kids. They're going to have social disorders. They're going to be so weird. Have you ever seen homeschool kids before? I can say that. My kids are homeschooled. They're going to be geeks. You go to church three, what do you do there? You sit under the same guy two times a week? What are you doing? You read the book of Leviticus. What is wrong with you people? You don't let your kid listen to secular music? What's wrong with you? Well, the scriptures say, think on these things that are just. Think on these things that are lovely, that are pure, not things that are screaming, and swear words and sex stories and everything else. I'm sure that they would have gotten some slack. Out of all the millions of people, they had to have gotten some slack. That's a little harsh of you. Your loved ones just died and you just put them in a robe and you just throw them outside the camp, and how heartless can you be? Then that's the most difficult thing as a Christian, is that the world will accuse you of something that you're not, and not defending yourself is one of the most difficult things, isn't it, saints? Just zipping the lip. It's always been an issue for me, but it hasn't gotten any easier, to be honest with you. I mean, if something's true about me and you say it, okay, what am I going to do? It's true. I can't defend myself, but I can't stand when you... There's enough truth that you can come against me with, but you got to make up lies. That's a low blow, and that's hard for me to zip the lip about. But God calls me to. He says, I'm your defense. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Keep your mouth quiet. If you try to put out fire, you're going to create fire. Let me defend you. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're getting ridiculed, persecuted by someone that they're affecting you. It's messing you up in the mind, and you don't like what they're saying about you and the reputation that's being developed because of their words. God would say to you, just be still. I am God. I've got this under control. I will defend you. I will deal with this for you. You just seek me. God knows we are not good at multitasking here. If I start getting distracted with putting out this fire and defending myself, I'm no longer standing up for and proclaiming the name of Jesus. I'm too busy worrying about what people think about me. They dumped him out of the camp. They did what the Lord said through Moses. And Moses said unto Aaron in verse 6, and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, those are his third and fourth sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. But you, verse 7, you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And you betcha they did according to the word of Moses. Listen, you guys are my representatives, says the Lord. You guys are dressed, decked out, adorned in priestly garments. You have the anointing oil, a scent that nobody else has but you. You guys are set apart for the work of the Lord. If you go out there and mourn and weep and put on this show for the people, they are going to accuse God falsely, unjustly, wrongly. They're going to say how harsh God is. How mean God is, when in all reality, this was for the good of the people. He was establishing, he was reaffirming who he is, his holiness, and the beginning of this new movement, and the beginning of this new work. It was necessary. And down the road, they would see that. But he's saying to them here, if you go out there and you tear your clothes, which is a sign of mourning, and you go out there pouting and crying and get pitied on by the people, they're going to develop this thought of God as an unfair God. I get this. Because so many people, they look to folks who are in a place of ministry and prominence there, and anything that person does, that's their imagery of who God is. And so if I, as a pastor, if I go before my unsaved family, or if I go before my unsaved friends, for instance, let's say with Josiah, who's been suffering for so many years with so many different health issues, and I get around them and I say, I can't believe this is happening here, and I pout and I stomp my feet and I rip my shirt and like Hulk Hogan, and I act like, oh man, this is the God, I'm misrepresenting who he is. Now, if I want to do that in my prayer closet and wrestle it out with the Lord and have him set me straight, that's different. But when I'm before people as his priest, as his representative, which, by the way, you are too. You are kings and priests. And I want a pity party, and I want people from the world to pat me on the back. What I have to do is I have to have a spiritual maturity to understand that these people might have a misunderstanding of who the Lord really is because of my misbehavior. Put on your game face sometimes. Lord, give me the grace to stand in front of these people so that I don't misportray you. your goodness and your faithfulness and your holiness and your rightness in this matter. Yes, Lord, I'm broken inside and I'm hurting inside that this suffering is taking place in my life. The Lord's okay with that, but he's saying, but don't go out in public and put on this show so that you get the recognition of man, because they are going to have a wrong picture in their head of who I am because of your actions. I think that that's important for us to understand, because a lot of Christians I hear constantly are murmuring and complaining. Oh, I don't have a job. Oh, my kid's sick, or my spouse died, or I'm going through this. And there are real problems, and I get that, and I'm not being demeaning towards it. I understand that. I hear your heart, and I think your case is legitimate. But the thing is that the people that don't know Jesus, this is the only Jesus that they'll ever see. And whether you realize it or not, they're going to associate your problems with God's unfairness. Look. How many times have you heard this before, saints? Look, you follow God, you go to church 2-3 times a week, and look, this is why I don't follow God. Because people like you are suffering right now. I've heard this concerning Scott Mason already. Here's a man who loved the Lord, who dedicated his life to the Lord, and he dies of a torturous death of cancer. This is what, how could a God of love do this? How many times have you guys heard this before? And there's no God, 360, you know, all the days of the year. Then all of a sudden somebody gets sick or suffers or goes through something, and it's God's fault. I don't want to add to that blame of God is what I'm trying to say to you. I don't want to give people a place to point their finger at the Lord. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it fine. But I don't want to contribute to that foolishness. And neither, the Lord doesn't want us to either. Plus, what are we showing them that we have that they don't? If I'm pouting on my face, acting like a schoolgirl about something that I'm going through, and they see that, what about my life is going to make them want the Jesus that I have? I might as well stay in the condition I'm in. I might as well stay in the state I'm in. Do what I've been doing to get through life anyways, because clearly your God isn't helping you out. It gives occasion for the heathen to mock, to scorn, to demean who the Lord is.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.